objective is to distort justice. We continue our lessons on justice. Tonight we turn to the very famous Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10. I'll read with you, you'll follow as I read three verses out loud, verses 10, 11, and 12. These verses precede that very famous passage where the Lord tells us to put on the whole armor of God, and then He lists for us what that armor is. Preceding those verses, we read the 10th verse, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." If I have a text verse tonight, the next one is it. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Our Heavenly Father, we love this book. We marvel at it. Seems like every time we learn something, we find two more things we don't know. And then we find the answer to that. We come tonight to study once again. All this year, Wednesday night after Wednesday night, in the Word of God, teaching and reading and explaining and exhorting. And here we are again with nothing but the Bible. No big push, no attendance campaign, no contest on Wednesday night, just the Bible. Thank you for its attractiveness, for its power to draw. In Jesus' name, amen. The pages of thy word to study what thou hast for us tonight. Give us alertness to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me make a statement or two before I take you into the Bible. The great work of Satan is to disrupt justice. That's his work. That's the great work of the devil, is to disrupt justice. And the way he disrupts justice is by accusing. You see, if Satan can falsely accuse or even accuse, then Satan will cause people in their own minds to judge somebody on the basis of the accusation and not the reality. You see, everybody here is a judge. Every man, woman in the world is a judge. You judge people. You have a daughter that wants to go with a certain boy, and you have to judge him to try to figure out if you think he's deserving of your daughter. Or you have a teacher, that a person you think about hiring as a school teacher, and you have to get references and judge. Now, if the devil can get us to falsely judge, then he has totally paralyzed the system of justice. That's exactly what Satan is trying to do. His great work is to paralyze the system of justice. Now, tonight I'm gonna give you something new and something old. I mean, something I've taught, something I haven't taught. It's almost impossible to teach anything new without bringing up something of a cross-reference type that's old. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 10, the book of Daniel chapter number 10, and verse number 12. The book of Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. If you have a scope of your Bible, it's page 916. 916. "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words." Now I want to show you something before we go to the next verse. Dr. Jorgensen, stand up right there, would you please? You are Daniel. Brother Claire, would you stand up right there, please? You're God. for the next few minutes. There shall be earthquakes all over the world. Please pray for the safety of all mankind for about 10 minutes. All right? So Daniel, he prayed to God. I'm going to let this this card right here be like a prayer. So you just get your pen out. And I want you to ask God for a songbook. Don't you carry a pen? Vice president of a college and no pen? You better be praying for a pen. Graduate of Princeton University and no pen? Former vice president of Hiles Anderson College and no pen? All right, so he's going to write a prayer request to God, and he's going to ask God for a songbook. That's all God has. And not yet. You know what he's going to ask you yet. And, okay. All right. Dear God, here's something for you. All right. Now then. He is, Bob. All right. Just carry him, fellows. He has epilepsy. He's having a seizure. That's what it is. Don't be worried. Just carry him. That means pick him up. That's good. He's a good man, but he has epilepsy, and every once in a while he has a seizure. In fact, I've talked to him about it tonight, so don't be alarmed. I have one about every 2 or 3 years myself. Who are you? Daniel. Who are you? God. Who are you? A bad boy. That's it. Reason I put Brother Colston down. There's too much excitement going on down there. And Brother Colston never does anything exciting, so I knew he'd be okay. One of these days, when I have time, I'm going to organize this into a church. But, all right, so he, Daniel, prayed a prayer to God. What did you ask him for? Psalm book. All right, now then, Brother Jeff, you're an angel. Can you fly? All right, you're an angel. Now, this is the story. I want you to look at verse number 13 now while they're standing there. Because in verse number 12, look at it now, and let's be serious for just a minute. We'll crack up after a while. In verse 12, look at it again. Then said he unto me, now this is an angel talking, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day thou hast set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself for thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now look at me. What the angel was saying here, he's saying, Daniel, I've come to bring the answer to your prayer. So God gave to the angel a songbook. And now the angel has the songbook. Now while the angel was coming back to give the answer to Daniel, something happened. You'll see it in verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now look at me. It says here that one of the princes of Persia. Now listen carefully. The devil has a system in the world, a system of fallen angels who we would call demons now. And these demons or fallen angels have different levels of authority. Just like any government has different levels of authority, and like the government of God has different levels of authority. So the devil has assigned an angel, a demon, fallen angel, a demon, called a prince here, to every nation on the earth. You see, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, the Bible says. We wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. And the United States has a president, President Bush, but the United States also has a prince assigned to us to try to make our president do wrong and make our country do wrong. The Bible teaches us that every nation under heaven has a representative of the devil whose job it is to do what he can to destroy that nation. I've got to remind you this, that the devil is not omnipresent. The devil is not everywhere. And by the way, as I said before, the devil is not omniscient. The devil doesn't know everything. The devil has to hear what he learns or find out what he learns. Young people down here, pay attention now. The devil has to hear what he learns. Now, if you'll ever learn that, it'll help you. The devil is not omnipresent. Because he is not omnipresent, he must discharge his fallen angels or his demons to do work on different levels. I'll show you that in a few minutes. All right? So here comes this angel over here. Hold it right there. And all of a sudden, this angel is stopped. He's on his way to take what? Songbook to whom? From whom? Because Daniel had what? He had prayed and asked God for a songbook. And God gives that songbook to the angel to take back to Daniel. But it says in verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. That's 3 weeks. He withstood me. Who was this? This was this fallen angel, this demon, whose job it was, listen to me now, whose job it was to destroy and ruin the nation of Persia. By the way, the Bible, Persia, is the same as the nation Iran nowadays. Iran is now, what is now Iran, was in those days Persia. All right? So all of a sudden, Brother Keith, stand up. Brother Keith is the prince of Persia, prince of Iran. And now he does not want that answered prayer to get to Daniel. So what does he do? The Bible says he withstood him. So stand right there in the way, and I think you can readily see that there ain't no way Jeff's going to get by. This angel has a real problem. All right, now follow me carefully. Who did the praying? To whom? For what? And God gave the answer, gave the song book to him to take back to. And all the way back, he was met by the prince of Persia, and the prince of Persia, the fallen angel given responsibility to destroy and corrupt the nation of Persia, he withstood him for 21 days. I look at it again, verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, there are three archangels in the Bible, were Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer. Lucifer, who's now the devil, listen, young ladies, Lucifer, who's now the devil, sinned against God and pulled his one-third of the angels of heaven from heaven, and they became fallen angels, and I think demons that we call demons now. So, but those three archangels were above the other angels. Originally, you had Michael and one-third of heaven's angels. You had Gabriel and one-third of heaven's angels, and then you had Lucifer and one-third of heaven's angels. Now, it is so this prince withstands him, but Michael. Brother Ray, you're Michael. Michael comes, and Michael wars against the prince of Persia. Michael comes. Michael is going to come and war against the prince of Persia. I'm afraid this is not going to turn out like the Bible. So he defeats the prince of Persia. The prince of Persia got out of wind and out of breath. That's why he lost the battle. So now then, the angel can come on and take the answered prayer to whom? All right, now, come back. Get back to your original places and let's act that out. Okay? Now, you pray out loud to God, Daniel.
Oh, God, I need a songbook.
Well, if you need a songbook, you need to be able to sing before you need a songbook. It's not going to help you a bit, Doc. Okay, go ahead. Thank you, fellas. You can be seated. What a wonderful job of acting that was. All right, let's talk it out. Who prayed? To whom? For what? And God gave the songbook to him, and the angel was withstood by the prince of, and who came and fought against the prince of Persia? And then the songbook was delivered to? Right, now, you see a order of power structure. You see a power structure here. You see Daniel, the weakest. The angel was stronger than Daniel. But the prince of Persia was stronger than the angel. But Michael, the archangel, was stronger than the prince of Persia. You see that? There's a power structure here. You have man, who's the weakest, and you have the angel, who's second, then you have the prince of Persia, who's third. Ask a question. If the angel can't make it against the prince of Persia, how are you going to make it? He couldn't make it in his own strength. How are you going to make it in your own strength? Consequently, you have the power structure. The weakest is man, and stronger than man is the angel. Stronger than the angel is the prince of Persia. Stronger than the prince of Persia is Michael, the archangel. Now, that's all they're mentioned here. Now, turn, please, to the book of Jude, the second from last book in the Bible, book of Jude, chapter 1. Verse number 9. Yet Michael, that's the same fellow we talked about a while ago, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Now I want to say a word about that. What in the name of common sense does a body of Moses mean to God? It just looks like to me that wouldn't mean a thing. Moses in his new soulish body was with God. Then why? What? Every once in a while somebody says, what difference does it make about the body? Bury me anywhere. Do what you want. It makes a lot of difference about the body. The body has been the temple of the Holy Spirit and until its death. And it's very important to God. Because that body is the seed which is planted in the grave from which is going to come the glorified body. We're sown in weakness, raised in power, and so the body is important. If it weren't important, God would not have sent Gabriel to try to get the body of Moses. Now that's why you shouldn't be cremated. That's why that a person ought to be buried. And that's why a burial place ought to be prepared. And that's why a person ought to have a dignified funeral service and a dignified burial. Now you say, just drop me in the ocean anywhere. No, that's not what God wants to do. Well, just burn my ashes and sprinkle them over the water. And that's not what God wants. God's concerned about your body. Now, enough of that. I didn't intend to say that even. But Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation. Look at me. Michael said to the devil, I'm no match for you. Look, young ladies, again, listen to me. Michael said to the devil, I'm no match for you. Now, if an archangel's no match for the devil, you're no match for the devil. If an angel could not defeat the prince of Persia, and if an archangel could not defeat the devil, the only hope you've got to win the victory for God is in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right? So there's a power above the devil. Let's take this power structure here. On the lowest rung of the ladder of the power structure is whom? Man. Right above man we have whom? Angels. Above angels we have the what? The Prince of Persia. Above that we have whom? Michael the what? Talk to me. Michael the what? And above him we have whom? The devil. All right, look at verse 9 again. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Now that word accusation is very interesting. Don't forget it. I'm going to get back to it in a few minutes, but don't forget that word accusation. Michael did not bring against the devil a railing accusation. Now, why didn't Michael fight the devil? Because Michael knew that the devil was no match for the devil. So, the power structure is man, then angels, then princes of nations, or the demons of nations, you might say, then Michael, then Satan, and then God. Now, that's the great power structure of the unseen world. Man, angels are stronger than man, but the Prince of Persia was stronger than the angel, but Michael was stronger than the Prince of Persia, but the devil was stronger than Michael. But God is stronger than the devil. Now, that's high as you go. Sounds like we're on the winning side if we choose to be on the winning side. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ. You see, you can't lick it by, you can't even lick the angel by yourself, much less the devil. You can't even lick the demons by yourself. You've got to do it in the power and energy of Almighty God. All right. I'm laying the foundation for... not as much time as usual, but for something that is very, very important. Now take your Bibles, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Read about it a while ago. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse number 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Or wrestle not against flesh and blood. All right, if that's the case, against whom do wrestle? So it has four different levels of our battle right here. But against principalities, that's one. Against powers, that's two. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world, that's three. Against spiritual wickedness in high places, that's four. Now look at me. Those four are also levels of Satan's action and activities on the earth among men. Now, I may be right on this. What these are, I may not, doesn't matter. I'm trying to tell you that there is a level of power in the devil's power structure also. Therefore, I want you to notice the first one, and not only look at it, but look at me. The first one is principalities. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our battle in America today is not against flesh and blood. The hope for America is not to get the right people elected to office. Hope for America is to get the power of God to be able to lick the prince of America. That's hope for America. We don't fight against kings and presidents and Supreme Courts. We're no match for them. We found that out. I hate to even say this, but the moral majority decided to change America. Boy, were they ever surprised. I'm not against the moral majority. I just think it's a waste of time. Then you get the right folks elected, and then you'll change America. No, you won't. You'll change America not by fighting flesh and blood, but fighting principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't fight that which is seen. We fight that which is unseen. And our weapons of warfare are not that which is seen, but those which are unseen. Now, the devil has these four levels of authority. First, he has principalities. The word principality is an interesting word. It means the chief, beginning, top. The first part of that word is the word arche, which means beginning. It means the top. Now, that means that there's a top man in the devil's army, and that's the devil himself. So we fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, or Satan himself. All right? And it says against powers. I think those powers could well be Satan's generals. Satan has his army organized, like we have an army organized. We have general, and then we have colonel, and then we have major, and then we have lieutenant, captain, and we have lieutenant, and we have sergeant. We used to have sergeant and corporal,
and PLC and private, and we, and the devil has it that way. So the devil himself is up here. I call him the principalities. And whether this is exactly accurate or not has nothing to do with the Bible study except to show you that there are degrees of powers, and the devil is a highly organized person. He has his army organized better than the United States of America has its army organized. And there's a third that says, it says the third, rulers over the power of darkness. All right? And I think those are the, I think those are the demons over the countries. It says principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's what I think. I think that the top one, the principality, is the devil. I think the powers are the devil's generals, are the devil's admirals, if you please. I think the rulers are those who are in charge of countries and civilizations. And then the spiritual wickedness, it means the level, the lower level, the ones that are after you. So you got the devil up here, then he has his second in command under him, then he has those that work over governments, and then he has those that work with individuals. So the devil has demons that work with individuals, and the devil has demons who work with you and me. So those are the four levels. Now, I've tried to show you tonight the levels of authority and power, the power structure of the universe, and then the devil's organization of his forces. All right? Now then, what is the purpose of this powerful network? What is the purpose of this powerful network the devil has? Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. Page 1341, verse number 9. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world. Look at where deceived. And let's go on now. The whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now look at me. This takes place in the middle of the tribulation period. Tribulation period is that seven-year period where we are with Christ in the air and where the awful time of tribulation is on the earth. Now, until that time, the devil will continue to have access to God in heaven. And he will continue to accuse us before God in heaven until the middle of the tribulation period. Then in the middle of the tribulation period, he'll be cast out of all access to heaven and will come to earth and center his entire attention on the earth. At that time, he will become the devil incarnate, or the devil clothed upon in the human body, called the Antichrist, just like Jesus was God incarnate. And Jesus was God incarnate for a period of approximately 3.5 years, and the devil will be Satan, the Antichrist will be Satan incarnate. So the devil comes, but look what it says here. It says, he was cast out into the earth, the last part of verse 9, and his angels cast out with him. What does that mean? That means the devil is going to be cast out, and his lieutenants and generals will be cast out, and the princes of the nations will be cast out, and the devils that deal with us on the individual level will be cast out. Look at verse number 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Look at me. The devil now is doing nothing but accusing day and night. That's what it says. It says that the devil is now cast out, who has done nothing but accusing. What's the devil doing now? He's accusing. He's the accuser. He's the one who's trying to get you to believe stuff. It's not true. He's trying to disrupt the entire order of justice on the face of the earth. Disrupting justice meaning that people will be accused of things and that other folks will accept that accusation as being true, and they, as judges of the case, have handed down an unjust verdict and disrupted the entire system of justice on the face of the earth. Now, listen carefully to this. Do you know what the word devil means? The word devil is the Greek word diabolos, or diabolos. And that word, diabolos, means accuser. That's what it means. When you say devil, the word in the Greek is the accuser. You can look up at any lexicon you want to look into, and you look up the word accuser, and it'll be diabolos. Then you look up the word devil, it'll say diabolos. Same thing. 34 times in the Bible, the devil's called an accuser. One time in the Bible, he's called a murderer. At no time in the Bible, as far as I know, is he called a thief. At no time is he called an adulterer. The great work of Satan on this earth is the work of accusing. That's his great work. Why? Because he wants to disrupt justice so that we will not have justice on the face of the earth. All right? Now then, let me say this. The entire kingdom, we talked about a while ago, the principalities, the powers, the rulers of darkness, all of those four kings and the spiritual wickedness in high places, all four of those are organized from the top down to cause us to accuse. Consequently, the worst work of Satan is not drunkenness. And the worst work of Satan is not adultery. And the worst work of Satan is not murder. And the worst work of Satan is not lying. The worst work of Satan is accusing. That's what his name is. Did you know that Satan only appeared three times in the Bible? He appeared first in Genesis. He appeared second in Job. He appeared third in Matthew chapter 4 to Jesus on the Mount of Temptation. All three times he appeared for one purpose, and that is to accuse. In Genesis, he came to accuse God to man. He said, God has said, but that's not so. He said the word of God's not true. Anytime you hear anybody say the word of God's not true, he's of the devil. Because the devil is, he accused God to man. And the way you accuse God is you say his word is not true. Now the second time the devil appears in the Bible is the book of Job. He comes the second time to accuse man to God. The devil's trying to get God to treat you unjustly, and he's trying to get you to treat God unjustly. So he comes and he accuses man to God. In the Garden of Eden, he says, God didn't mean what he said. In the book of Job, he comes to God and says, Job's not so hot. This is the truth about Job. Now, the third time he comes to accuse the God-man. He comes in Genesis to accuse God the man. He comes in Job to accuse man to God. He comes in Matthew chapter 4 to accuse the God-man. Now, all of this to say, the whole system of the devil is to get you and me to believe wrongly about somebody, either God or man. All right, now listen. If this all be true, what is the greatest sin you can commit as a Christian? Accusing. You don't believe that. You never have said to anybody, don't speak to him, don't talk to him, because he's an accuser. You said, don't mess with him, don't talk to him, he's an adulterer, and that's bad. But not as bad as being an accuser. The devil never set out in this world to make everybody adulterers. The devil never set out in this world to make everybody liars. The devil never set out in this world to make everybody murderers. But the devil set out in this world to make everybody accusers. Because if the devil can make all of us accusers, he's totally disrupted the system of justice, and then man will not get what he deserves, and God will not get what he deserves, and the devil will have caused man to believe wrongly about God, and God to believe wrongly about man, and man to be wrongly about each other. Why? Because the devil is doing his best to get you to accuse somebody or listen to somebody who does. Let me ask you this question then. What is the worst form of demon possession? Gossip. Worst form. That's what it's all about. That's what the devil's here for. I get tired of these people. Say, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. I came out years ago. Don't Do you want to see a real demon-possessed person? Find some woman that spends her time on the telephone spreading everything she knows. That's the worst form of demon possession. You find some man spending his whole life trying to destroy somebody. That's the worst form of demon possession. Why? Ladies and gentlemen, that's what the devil's all about. That's what he started in the Garden of Eden. He said, let me tell you this about God. Did you hear this about God? He didn't mean what he said. What he said is not true. He accused Jehovah God. And then he comes in the book of Job, the second person, the second appearance, and he accuses man. He says, man's not so hot. And he tries to get God to be unjust in his dealings with man. Let me tell you something. You are not the epitome of diabolical, there's that word, diabolos. You're not the epitome of diabolical action because you're a drunkard in the gutter. You're not the epitome of diabolic action because you're a dope addict on a trip. You're not the epitome of diabolic action because you're a prostitute in a red light district. As far as God's concerned, you are more the epitome of diabolical action than a prostitute or a drunkard or a pimp or a murderer when you accuse somebody. That's the whole system. So it's all about what the devil's trying to do. The devil doesn't care what you do as long as you will be a party in believing accusations and spreading accusations, because then you have fulfilled his primary and peak purpose for his existence, and the great work of his whole life will be fulfilled, because the purpose, the great summum bonum, the peak, outstanding, top, most important desire and work of the devil is accusing. The whole system of the universe, the whole system of satanic power, the whole power structure is to accuse. You're pretty rotten, aren't you? You're pretty sorry, aren't you? Those of you in college dorms have listened to gossip about somebody else in the dorm. Pretty sorry, aren't you? Looks like to me, as long as you got a Bible on somebody's desk, you ought to have something to keep your mouth busy with. Pretty sorry. As I've said before, I am not trying to get people not to talk about me, brother. That'd be too big a job for anybody to do. I'm not concerned about me. I'm concerned about you. I don't want you to be demon-possessed. I don't want you to be a dupe of the devil. I don't want you to be doing the outstanding thing the devil wants you to do and the worst thing that you can do. You know, one reason we studied the last couple of weeks, we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. Whatever you hear, you've got to speak. And once you speak it, according to James, you have defiled your tongue, and the tongue defiles the whole body. You know, the reason that's the problem is because the devil's trying to get you. It's the devil who says, tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it. Little demons who say, listen to it, listen to it, listen to it. And that's why it is impossible for you not to tell it, because little devils are trying to make you tell it and force you to tell it. And that's why that God doesn't want you to hear it, because once you hear it, you have to tell it. And once you've told it, you defile your tongue. The tongue defiles the entire body. So Satan's entire program is to ruin the reputation of God in man. That's it. Look at me. The devil's entire program on this earth is not to first to destroy your character. No. His entire program is first to destroy your reputation. So it is. Look, now hear me carefully. The devil knows he can't get everybody to believe that you're a crook. I'm sorry. The devil knows he can't get every one of you to become a crook. So if he can get everybody to believe you are a crook, that's just as good, because he's thwarted God's program. And the purpose of the entire structure of the satanic system is to try to get you to accuse. Starts off in school. Teacher, did you know what he did? That's the devil and his demons. It ends up on the telephone. If I had my way, the telephone would be outlawed in the United States.
I'm nervous now.
I'm saying that, and by the way, it's time you took me seriously on this matter. It's time you quit just saying amen in church and said, well, that's right, that's right. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says accusing people is worse than alcoholism. Well, it's time you believed it. Let me say again, I'll close with this, what I said before. Show me one place in this Bible. Show me one place in this Bible that tells you to withdraw yourself and not to try to help alcoholics. The entire tenor of this book is to lift up the fallen. You go to that famous book of Ezekiel, chapter 20 and chapter 24 and others, and you'll find that our job is to heal that which was sick, bind up that which was broken, bring back that which has been driven away. That's our job. But at no place in this Bible does God ever tell you to go to a gossip and try to straighten him out. No place. You know why? Because, brother, you can bring back, hear me carefully, you can bring back an alcoholic to sobriety faster than you can bring back a gossip to silence. So God said, God never says, shun alcoholics. He does say, shun vain babblers. God never says, avoid fallen people. But he does say, mark those which cause offenses and divisions among you contrary to this doctrine and avoid them. Why? Because the same reason that you don't want to be around too closely, somebody's got a contagious disease. The most contagious disease in the contagious sin in the universe is accusing. Because that's the very name of the devil. The word devil means accuser. They both come, the word diabolos, it means accuser. I wish you could know. I wish you could know what is about to happen to you when somebody comes to you and says, promise you won't tell. You ought to look at them and say, I promise I won't hear. And again, I'm not saying that for the sake of the person they're going to speak about. I'm saying that for your sake. Because the minute you hear, you have to tell, because we cannot but speak the thing that's seen and heard. And when you have to tell, you yourself have become defiled. And you have become, you hear me now, you have become a party of the devil's power structure. And the devil has wrought in you his supreme work. The devil could come tonight to Hammond, Indiana, and say, let me show you my greatest work. He would not go over here to Calumet City, Illinois, and point you to a painted-up hussy of a prostitute. He wouldn't say, that's my greatest work. The devil would not go to one of these taverns and show you a fellow vomiting on the floor of the tavern because of being inebriated. He would not say that's his greatest work. Nor would the devil go to some young person who's on dope and say, that's my greatest work. Now hear me carefully. He'd go to some professor in some seminary who says all of these words are not true because he's accusing God to man. And then he would go to some man or woman on the telephone who's spreading something he or she heard. Because you'll never be more satanic, you'll never be more demon-possessed than when you accuse. One day I was standing behind this pulpit preaching, and I got the shock of my life. I was preaching on the devil being a false accuser. And I said, ladies and gentlemen, when you go out here and falsely accuse somebody,
you are a dupe of the devil. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, that's not just all true. Because the devil is accusing you right now in the presence of God. But he's not falsely accusing you. He's truthfully accusing you. The devil says to God, she's got a temper. And you do. The devil says to God, he is jealous or covetous. And you are. The devil says to God, she has hate in her heart. And you do. So you're just not being a dupe of the devil when you give false accusation. You're being a dupe of the devil when you give true accusation. When you spread that which is bad about somebody that's true. And once in a while, some of my bitterest enemies, they like to stress the fact that the house covers up sin. I never cover up sin. I just don't go around the country blabbing about everybody's sins. I'm trying to restore people, not destroy people. I'm trying to reclaim people, not defame people. It's my job, and that will continue to be my job. And some of my critics have spent more time lifting up the fallen than trying to run down those who do. They'd understand what the Bible's all about and walk in the Spirit of Christ. You'll never be more satanic than when you tell somebody something bad, true or false, about somebody else. The whole system of satanic power and structure is for one purpose, false accusation or accusation. And to disrupt the system of justice in the world so that you and I will think wrongly about God and His Word and wrongly about each other, consequently making judgment about God on the basis of false witnessing and making judgment about each other on the basis of false witnessing. I don't know about you, but I just don't want to be, I don't want to say Satan and Howes Incorporated. I don't want the devil